A special shout out to our sponsors, Oceanstone Architectural Lighting, a fully customizable track lighting system for your home, controlled by an app on your phone. Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome to another episode of Quick Tap Rugby Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. And like always, I'm joined by MLL star, a San Diego Legion star, and USA rugby player, my main man, my partner in crime, Nate Augsburger. How you doing, sir?
CJ, my man, doing well. Thank you.
That's good. That's good to hear. Joining us also like every week is celebrity chef, host of the Chef Rock Show. I guess he's feeling better now. Chef Rock, how you doing, sir? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, my boys?
How's that show?
You off the heavy drugs, chef?
Shoulder's working okay. I've been working on some good stories. And I'm feeling good. Look, I'm out of the harness right now, baby.
Well, that's good to hear. So I wanted to mention before we get started, you got some things you're launching right now. It's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Is it called Chef Rock's Nuts or Chef Rock's what is it? CB Nuts or something like that?
They're called Chef Rock's Nuts. Okay. And they're real nuts, but they're infused with CBD.
Gotcha.
I have another company called Pipe Dream Kitchen. So we're actually in vending CBD vending machines. I'm in the Atlanta airport with my nuts. So my nuts can be in Atlanta. I can be here with you guys. See how easy it is?
Well, I'm just happy your nuts are there and not here with me. So I'm feeling really good about that. So Nate, give me up to speed on your health. How are you feeling? How's your injury coming? What are you doing right now? Are you ready to get back on the field because you guys on a win streak? You looking good?
Yeah, really good. No, I'm doing well. I don't know if the team even needs me really at this stage. You. But it's been going really good. CJ, thanks for asking. The ankle's coming along. I've been out of a boot. I'm starting to do more stuff on actual land rather than just the pool. So things are starting to go my way, man. I'm definitely itchy to try and get back out there before the season ends.
That's awesome, man. So I've seen some video clips that you posted on Instagram showing you doing little stuff. And so I just want to double check and make sure you tell your public and your fans how you're feeling and you're ready to go. Now the team's on a win streak, man. It's looking good, looking promising, man.
Oh, it really is. It really is. And that was a boomerang, by the way. So I was moving like 10 times slower than whatever the video was showing. Just say no. The team's winning, though. The team's winning, so we're all smiles, man. It's amazing what winning does, and we're all feeling pretty good about it.
Well, I guess today obviously is part of that winning process. So I'm going to let you introduce him and, you know, start us off in the interview process. So go ahead. I'll pass this over to you.
Right on. Thank you. So the guest today is a very special individual. He's actually, fun fact, born in New Zealand, but he's Australian. And we have Cam Clark, who's been our most recent captain for several games in a row. He's been an absolute stud. He's an Australian Sevens Olympian, and he played for the Waratahs in Super Rugby. I think he's got 38 caps for that team. So he's a pretty special individual, and he's been a great teammate for us and a great leader for us. So, Cam, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Welcome, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Cam, is that so? That's I'm on the right track here. Wikipedia didn't send me for a loop. Your mom is from New Zealand or is a Kiwi, and your dad's Australian.
Yep, that's it. So mum's a Kiwi, dad's an Aussie, and he was working over there at the time. So moved over to Sydney when I was 4.
All right. If you ask me, that's a great combo for someone who's going to be a good rugby player someday. So your dad actually he's worked for Fox Sports in Australia as a commentator and a journalist for a long time, right? He's called a bunch of your games.
Yeah, it's a funny one. So I grew up pretty much going to every Waratahs home game, sitting in the commentary box. So it was pretty awesome as a kid to experience that side of it, you know, the media and just getting up and close and personal with, you know, some of the players. And, you know, when I was growing up at the time, the Wallabies were, they were world champs from 99. and there's a stack of them in that Waratahs side. So it was cool to be around that. And sort of that's where my, I guess, love for the game grew. But yeah, as far as him calling some of my games, you know, he's sort of the ultimate pro, just sort of plays it off like I'm just any other player, you know, calls me Clark and not my first name. But I know when I scored my first try in Super Rugby, he was, you could tell he was very excited, listed off all the stats and whatever. So that was one, that was one sort of moment he got a bit carried away with it.
That's great. Oh, that's great. Well, you know, Ethan McVeigh, his dad is our announcer at some of the home games. It's been pretty funny because his dad's been commentating the games and yeah, just a crack up. And that's tight. So who taught you your footwork on defense? Did you get taught that as a young? Because I got a story for everybody. Like Cam joined the team and immediately in the first week of training, we were doing one-on-one drills. And I'm a code head. There's just certain things I try. I like look at, I picked up that Cam's just got great footwork on defense for tackling. And I just wonder like how many of those guys that you came across, or is there anyone in particular that influenced you to, you know, that skill in particular, but also just to be where you're at right now?
I guess growing up, I was always like, I loved defense. So sort of took pride in my tackling and, you know, I wasn't afraid to stick my head in dark places sort of thing. So always loved my defense. And I think I'd say just playing sevens was massive for me in terms of footwork. Playing center, so you're in the middle of the park, a lot of space either side of you. So I think just playing the game of sevens in terms of footwork and tracking, just getting yourself in the right position. And I guess you're testing yourself against some pretty fast feet sort of steppy guys on the seven circuit. So I'd say that's probably the biggest area of growth, or what I found that was the biggest area of growth playing sevens, is just that ability to track and sort of make good chop tackles for sure.
And Cam's been obviously a great defender for us. I'm glad to see you back out on the wing, Cam, making some big shots. The guy's an animal.
Yeah, I was in the middle there for a while, so I was making a lot of tackles each game. So now now you're sort of in the single figures. You got to make them count a bit more.
Go ahead, Chef. Right,
I was just going to say, you know, you can't tell by the screen, but Cam, you're not a little guy. What are you, like 6'1"?
About, yeah, 6 foot, 6'1", around there.
How much in the weight? What are you weighing?
I'm about 87 kilos, whatever that is in pounds.
Kilos.
I don't know. Kilograms. I work in kilograms. I'm not sure.
I know a kilo is 2.2 pounds. So you're probably pushing.
I'm not the biggest winger running around, but I try to use my weight best as I can.
But that's good though. I mean, that's that kind of size is. Was that about average for a rugby player?
It depends on the competition, Chef. It kind of depends. You know, if you go overseas in like France or Premiership, some of the wings would be a lot bigger than Cam, probably. Wouldn't you say, Cam? But and then like
– Yeah, definitely.
Speak on the guys that you played against in Super Rugby.
You know? Yeah, it sort of varies. You know, you've got these freak athletes, some big like – some of the Fijian guys you come across, they're just massive and fast. Like some sort of smaller, yeah, like Save. Oh, there's some smaller sort of steppier guys. So it sort of varies between the teams and what they sort of want out of their wingers, where they want a big ball carrier or someone, you know, quicker and to finish. But yeah, I mean, I sort of sit in between both of them, I'd say. Yeah,
that's good.
So the season's progressing. You started off, the Legion started off kind of rocky. I won't say bad, I'll just say rocky a little bit. Now you got some momentum. How you feel about the season and where you look? How do you feel about your progression and where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, we're on this little winning streak now. And, you know, the guys are feeling good. We had a long travel day yesterday back from Atlanta, but, you know, the guys showed up to training today with smiles on and, you know, it's crazy what winning can do for the team and just the way people, the way guys show up and, you know, get keen for the next week. But yeah, a couple of big challenges coming up in the next couple of weeks, especially with this Utah and their conference game. So they're sort of must wins for us this late in the season. So hopefully, you know, things keep going the way they're going and we can sort of be there at the end of the season.
No, it looks like it. I mean, I'm super excited now that everybody's winning. You guys are winning. I feel excited. Nate, are you coming back soon? Or I mean, that's what I was trying to get out of you earlier.
That's what you're trying to come back. I can't tell you. I want to be surprise attack. Nah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll tell you what, if I could come back for the 20th and the 26th, the games at Torero, yeah. I would die. I would kill to be out there. And, yeah. You know, Cam's new to our squad, so he hasn't actually got to play there yet. Nice. But it's a different level when teams have to come play us in there. And it's just a great, great place to play. And you guys obviously know that as well. So.
We'll be there rooting you on, that's for sure. Cam, I wanted to ask you, I mean, since you're a wing guy, you know, you're doing a lot of tackling out there as well. Do you guys like the NFL guys? Do you watch films of the players coming up, you know, like watch out this guy, he always goes to the left, or, you know, he aims for you, or do you scout that out?
Yeah, I'd say we definitely watch a bit of film. I'm not sure how much the NFL guys watch in comparison. I feel like they'd probably do a bit more, especially, you know, quarterbacks and whatever, it's very prescribed. And but I mean, I always take a look at my opposite number and see what he sort of likes, you know, if he's got a left foot, right foot step, if he likes to do certain things. So yeah, I mean, that's what I do in my personal prep. But I think, you know, everyone's sort of different in how they watch film and how they prepare for games. But yeah, we're like, so we get team meetings where they'll go through certain things, but it's more sort of broad around team, how their attack structure is, how we're going to defend, or how we're going to attack and exploit certain areas. But yeah, so it's sort of on the individual if they want to look at their opposite number.
Thanks. Yeah, it seems like it would help, obviously, if you knew this one guy, as soon as he gets the ball, he's off the races for a try,
It seems too fast. Right? It seems too fast in rugby. It seems too fast to watch. Like football, you could study the offense because they sit there and they line up a certain way. In rugby, they don't. They don't line up a certain way. You know what I'm saying? It goes back and forth so quick. I was just watching rugby the other day, and I find myself doing this a lot more. I flip to the TV, and there's rugby on. I stop and watch. You know, and I find myself, I'm just kind of getting my groove to it. So I'm still learning. Just so you know, Cam, I'm not a big rugby, you know, connoisseur, but I'm absorbing as much rugby as I can. So when I have conversations with Nate, we can talk a little bit about rugby. I know what he's talking about.
Where are the cheerleaders?
We've come a long way from the you know, what's a knock on to, you know, we've really made some progress.
Yeah, I didn't know what a try was. You got to put the ball down when you try. So I'm learning a great deal.
CJ, remember the first time we went? We were up in that little press booth, just us. Yeah. And we're looking at it. We're watching the game. We're going, I have no idea why that guy just kicked the ball. Why did he kick it? They're running for a touchdown, you know, and the guy kicks it. The other team, why?
I've learned a lot since then, so I'm better now at that. So Cam, I'm not that much of a novice any longer. But So what do you like playing in the MLR? I mean, it's versus all playing overseas. Just kind of get your perspective on that, you know.
So the last competition I played previously was Super Rugby. At the time, it was teams from Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Argentina, Japan. It's since changed with COVID, but when I was playing that was the deal. So I guess that's been well established for a long time. People are well aware of it. You know, you're traveling overseas quite often, playing sort of internationals quite often. So I'd say the standard there is it's probably higher and faster with, you know, when you've got international players scattered throughout the sides, just that sort of leadership and, you know, people in key positions leading the teams around. But I've been very surprised at how good the standard is over here as well. I mean, I've sort of seen glimpses of it in previous years. And I think definitely from year one, the bits I saw till now, it's just improved so much. And, you know, the American players here who've been playing in America their whole career, you know, I think their skill levels are great. And, you know, I can just see this competition really getting better and better as the years go on. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm loving being here in San Diego.
It's a beautiful city. Great weather.
Yeah, that's it. And a great group of guys. And, yeah, you know, nice. You know, I think we can do something special as well. So, I'm loving being over here. And it's been an awesome sort of, not a freshen up, but I guess, you know, something, you know, a little change and change of scenery. And it's really given me, you know, an extra sort of boost when I'm looking at my rugby and, yeah, loving it.
That and his fiance has just recently arrived. So he's in a much better mood, if you can see the smile on his face.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You got to tell us, what's your favorite non-rugby or off-field activity? What have you really enjoyed doing when you're not, you know, locked in doing your professional work?
I love getting in the water. So when I was back home in Sydney, I lived in Manly and, you know, I was just by the beach there. So just being back now in San Diego. So we obviously had a little stint in Vegas. It's a long way from the coast there. So being back here.
they got you to stay there.
Yeah. It's 135 degrees there right now.
Yeah. So I've just been, getting in the water as much as I can. And that's still my off switch, so I can get in there and, you know, get away from rugby for a little bit.
It's kind of like surfer's paradise, right?
Surfer's paradise, yeah. Not too dissimilar. Yeah, it's pretty
similar. On the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Because then you play for the Brisbane team, was the Wallabies or what was it?
No, so I played for the New South Wales Waratahs. So we were based in Sydney.
Okay. Yeah, what was the one team that you played with that was on the Gold Coast?
So the Gold Coast, there's the Reds, the Queensland Reds. They're based up there.
Oh, okay.
So we'd play against them. That's our big sort of derby match each year.
I lived in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cam, this is a part of the podcast where Chef Rock starts talking mostly about himself. So we're just going to let him run. So, you know, you can ask him some questions. So, you can interview him.
Whatever you want to know.
He becomes a star around the 16, 17 minute of the podcast. Let him be the star.
So is it time for my Australian story?
There it is, buddy.
So listen, I was a chef on a yacht in Monte Carlo for a couple of years. Great job. Traveled all through the Med, cooked for all kinds of people. Met some people when I went back to school in the off season in Paris. He was from Australia, Brisbane. We became good friends over there. And I said, hey, you know what? When I get off the yacht, maybe I'll come to Australia. We'll open up a restaurant. Sure. So I do. After 2 years, I get off the yacht. I go to Australia. I'm in Brisbane. And we're hanging out with all these guys. I got a job at the Melbourne Hotel in Brisbane, who happened to own the Brisbane Bears. And so I'm working, and we have a whole group of guys, and we'd go out drinking. It's an Australian pastime, right? So we go, and I was living in New Farms, which was in World War II, it was an American barracks. So the officers lived there. So the apartments were really weird. They had two doors, one on each end of the building, and like three flights of stairs up. And this side was all apartments straight down. I mean, you walk in the front door and there's a room there. There's a room there and a room all the way to the kitchen way in the back. So I got a little schnookered one night. I walk in, put my key in, I go up into the room and I live by myself. I look over, I'm walking to the bathroom, like 3 a.m. and I see two people in bed. I'm like, what the heck? I didn't think anything, I was a little drunk. I go to the bathroom, I go, and then I look, I go, I don't have any plants. What the heck? I walk back and the guy's rustling in bed and I'm going, oh my God, I'm in someone else's apartment. I had to sneak out, I thought I was gonna get shot. And I walk out and I'm like, holy, I'm on the wrong side of the building too, you know, and you can't connect. I gotta go all the way down, I'm running back. I mean, it was crazy. And then I saw the guy and his wife at a little party they had there, and they kept like looking at me, going, "We never met, have we?"
So hold on.
I've seen you both naked.
Hold on. So they were in bed. You stuck around long enough to actually identify them.
No, here's the funny part. I actually stayed in the apartment long to go to the bathroom.
You did one or two.
At least you didn't try crawling. At least you didn't crawl up to bed.
Then I had to, when I realized I was in the wrong place, I had to walk by him. And I was going, oh my gosh, this could be life or death here. How the heck, I can't run. I can't let the door slam. This guy will chase me down the hill, you know? Anyway, typical, too many Fosters and 4K beer there.
Yeah. It makes you feel better, Chef. There's like a list full of Australian guys that I've played with over the years, from club rugby to international, and they know how to drink.
The truth.
I can confirm that. I've had too many years with Australian guys.
Yeah, but how many of them go in the wrong apartment on the wrong
side
of the building?
CJ,
it went completely around the building. He just go on the same side. He went completely around the building.
Hey, CJ, you know the funny part is? My key worked in their door. So the next day, I was a little pissed off. How did my key work in that guy's apartment? I found out that all six apartments had the same key. I confronted the owner and I said, what the heck's wrong with you?
So hold on for a second. So now I'm starting to figure this out. You knew all six keys worked. So you were just going in checking out people as they were sleeping.
Oh, no.
No more stories for Chef Rockton.
Pretty wild.
Cam, that's part of the podcast that we get through every single week. So we wanted to induct you to our Chef Rock stories. You know what I'm saying? So now you're part of it, Cam. You can now tell people that you've been part of the Chef Rock stories.
Yes.
Be posted.
Never disappoint.
Exactly.
So what are you looking forward to for the rest of the season? What are you looking forward to happen in your personal play?
We just got to keep winning. That's the important thing for us now, on a little hot streak. So if we can keep that going, we'll fly into finals. So,
yeah.
It sounds very cliche, but it's just one game at a time for now, because these big conference games coming up are just so important. So Utah this week away will be a big challenge. So we just got to keep humming, foot on the accelerator, and go up there and hopefully do a job. But it's been really enjoyable these last few games. So if we can keep that going, smiles on faces, and people just enjoying coming to work every day and training, working hard. So the guys were in there early this morning in the gym, just smashing it out, and everyone's just keen to keep going. So
optional,
yeah, I can't wait.
Optional gym still showed up.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Everyone.
Hey Cam, I got a question for you. Something I saw. I didn't see the video because it got pulled down. I don't know what year it was, but it was something about a guy giving you a kung fu kick.
Yeah.
DeVita. Yeah. I wanted to see the video. Well, how did the heck that happen? Did he do it on purpose?
Yeah, so it was our halfback put up a box kick, so just from the base of the ruck, put up a high kick.
Right.
And I was chasing to go contest it. And I wasn't going to get there in time to catch it on the full. So I was waiting. Their winger jumped and I was waiting for him to hit the ground so I could tackle him, because you can't tackle him in the air. So he's gone up, and as I'm getting closer, he's just sort of hanging in the air, and he just extended his foot, and I just cupped a face full of studs.
No. My God.
So, yeah.
He got suspended for six weeks.
Yeah, a little kung fu kick to the face, and you got suspended or red carded and suspended. So
wow. Yeah. That was crazy. Was that the shot of you? I saw your one shot looked like you were in a hospital bed with a black eye.
Was that another occasion? No, that was friendly fire. I was actually catching the ball that time, and I smacked the back of one of my own teammates' head and fractured my cheekbone and whatever. Oh, so yeah.
Well, rugby is a rough sport.
Yeah, I think everyone's sort of got their few scars from playing the game, but
Cam's an animal.
We keep coming back.
Yeah, he's one of the only backs that has a proper cauliflower ear.
Nice.
Oh, really?
That guy's a monster.
That's interesting.
He puts his head in the dark places. I was just gonna say.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the part of rugby that scares me, is I see people put their head in there, I see some crazy shots sometimes.
I know.
These guys are just running full on, and a dude just sticks them. And I'm like, he had no helmet, no pads, or nothing I'm used to seeing. And a guy just falls back, and they get up and start running. I'm like, dude, what the hell, bro? You should at least be unconscious for a few minutes or lay there for a few minutes or something. Yeah. Then he gets up and he starts running, then he goes after someone else. I'm like, man, those guys got to be on something. So
my hat's off
to you guys, man, especially Nate. Nate's a smaller, stocky guy, and I've seen him get in there and hit big dudes. I'm like, dude, bruh, don't you want to save your face? You know what I'm saying? You only got one. You know what I'm saying? You can't. Yes, you won't have plastic surgery later, but yeah, no, it's definitely a sport that
you're pretty like me.
Not come on now. You know what I'm saying? You had your stories. The story time, brother. Cut that out. You know, but yeah, no, that's the only thing about rugby that kind of worries me. And I know personally that I can't play because I'm a scaredy cat. You know what I'm saying? I had a helmet on. I could put my head anywhere. Even now, I don't play around with people with my face. You know, this is it, homie.
This is your money maker.
This is my money maker. Even though I ain't made no money with it yet. So,
but you know what? And
Cam, I always tell these guys that the funny part is, though, is that if they actually wanted to go find a rugby game and play, they're not too old. They could definitely do it. There is, you know, club level rugby from freaking being a little kid all the way up until you're like
50
years old. You know, you can find it somewhere. That's just,
well, you never know.
I've seen teams back home. They call it golden oldies, and they have different colored shorts for different age groups. So like certain color shorts, you're allowed to tackle them. And then there's guys like probably 70 plus that are running around on a rugby field. Will have like gold shorts or something. So it just means you're not allowed to tackle them. But it's cool to see everyone still involved in the game.
Oh, so hold on. So I can play rugby.
You can play.
I could get like a 70-year-old shorts, you know, 70-year-old player shorts.
You gotta get in the middle of it. You're
Tell him. You can't lay out any 70-year-old dude, CJ.
Wait a minute, CJ.
You're
telling me that I can play. But not get tackled if I get the right color shorts.
So I'm going to make sure I get you the right pair of shorts, CJ, with the Depends inside.
I'm not reconsidering this whole rugby thing. You know what I'm saying? The whole thing was the contact. I'm too old for that stuff. So now if you're saying I can't get hit, I might go ahead and participate.
That might be like flag. It's like flag football almost, right?
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
You know? Bunch of 70-year-old guys running on the field. Well, we're not 70 yet, but you know, we can work our way up to that.
Well, bro, you're closer to 70 than
I'll be messing with me.
I'm just being real about it.
How smooth.
Do I got time for another question for Cam?
Yeah, now you got time.
Cam, it's kind of along the lines of asking about MLR and stuff, but in the East Coast, literally from 1 to 6, every team is one game or tied with the team in front of them. Is there any games that you've watched outside of our own and any teams from the East that you're kind of like, oh, that's a tough opponent when we played them, or you think that they'd be a solid favorite as we close in on the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, I've watched New York a couple of times and obviously we lost to them round one. So I'd love to get them again and have another crack with them. And I saw them play against the LA Giltini side and win at home over in New York. So there's not only a couple of teams that managed to do that. So I think, you know, they've sort of proven that in a bigger game they can compete and do well. So I think I'd really like to have another go at them if it comes finals time. So they're probably the ones that stand out for me in the East at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm
with
I like it. Not running from competition. Go give revenge in your losses. I love that.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I love revenge in my losses.
Heck yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't lose much though. So
no.
I'm just joking. Cam. So we always give people an opportunity to say something to their public, to their fans, and what they want to say. You know, if you got something special you want to tell people, say to people, and this is your opportunity, man. And even though now that I feel that I thought you were smiling so much because you were on the show, we know that your fiance is in town, so it's not about her. So, if you want to say something to her, you go right ahead and say something to her. I'm okay with that.
This could get you in good. This is better than dinner out.
Better than dinner out, of course, of course. I guess my message is to just American people. I mean, it's like yourself, you're saying, you know, you flick through the channels and now you'll actually stop and watch a bit of rugby. You know, I'm just keen to keep spreading the message about rugby and getting that, getting the word out there that, you know, it's an amazing game. And, you know, you can go anywhere in the world, find a rugby club, and you've got some sort of community there that'll take you in. And, you know, it's just an awesome vibe and great to be a part of. So I've been lucky enough to be a part of it my whole life. And I know a lot of American guys haven't sort of had that experience yet. They might go to college, you know, and then it's sort of, you know, no sport after that if, you know, you don't crack into a draft or whatever. But I just think it's an amazing game for so many reasons. The people you meet, the sort of networks you create, you know, it's allowed me to travel the world and play this amazing game. And I just think for Americans just to be exposed now at a level that the MLR is at, and hopefully it continues to grow, it's just going to be amazing to see what it can do in this massive sports market that America has. So, I mean, if guys can, you know, turn on and just have some sort of interest in the game like you now, you know, you're sort of slowly picking it up and getting involved and, you know, want to sit down and watch a game. I think it's going to go so far and, you know, America's can definitely turn into a powerhouse of the game. And, you know, hopefully you can see World Cups being hosted here down the track and the US really pushing for those, you know, top seeds going into it. So, I mean, I'm excited to be here and be sort of part of the early part of American rugby, or the MLR anyway. And, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, the team that I'm in now and being able to be a part of it. So, you know, I appreciate what you guys do, getting people talking about rugby and listening about rugby. And yeah, that's sort of what I've got to say.
All right, man. Thank you very much. We tried to make it fun. We're going to continue to pass the word on, man. So thank you, Cam, for coming on. We're running out of time, man. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Jeff Rock,
pleasure.
Nate, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks, everybody.